You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each week, we are coming at you to keep you informed, engaged, and entertained while we talk about the Montreal Canadiens. And, well, first, let me make some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show. In the studio with me is my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. And we have a very special episode for you today because, believe it or not, this is our 400th episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast.
That's fantastic.
Episode 400. And that's, okay, so when you do the math, right? 400 episodes, we come at you weekly, 52 weeks a year. So how many times does 52 go into 400? That's a lot of episodes. It's a lot of weeks. It's a lot of years. But that's just kind of the second iteration of our Saturday Rocket Sports podcast. Before our 400 episodes here at Canadiens Connection, it was the Habs 360 podcast. And goodness, you and Chris G did that for how many years before that? So
yeah, starting in 2011-12 and had 250 episodes of that podcast. On Rocket Sports, we're at 650
episode 650 of our Saturday Montreal Canadiens based podcast. It's exactly. And that's a very special round of applause from the kids because those kids reserve all of their cheering for our good friend Patrick Williams when he's on the show. So this is the only time they've made an appearance outside of that. So welcome to our 400th episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast, where whether you've been here for all 400 or this is your first time or something in between, we're just really glad that you're here. It's an exciting time to be a Montreal Canadiens fan. I'm going to say it right off the bat. If you're new here and you haven't subscribed yet, just tap the subscribe button now. You're going to want to be along for the ride. Now, for the remainder of the playoffs, the draft, the postseason, you name it, the offseason, all of it, just hit that subscribe button. Rick, goodness, after all of that, how are you doing today? This week has been a whirlwind.
Serenity now.
Yes.
Yeah, Marty St. Louis described these games as chaos, as being very chaotic. And you think... Have we told them what the title of the episode is?
No, it's Championship Habits, Learning to Close.
Learning to Close.
Please, dear God, learn how to close.
That's the key. Learn to close and makes us think of a Seinfeld episode. Remember our crew, our Rocket Sports Slack group says, more Seinfeld references, please. And then we learned that Marty is a big Seinfeld fan.
Yeah.
So we think about that Seinfeld episode where Frank Costanza was having set up a competition to sell computers between son George and a Lloyd Braun out of his garage.
Yeah.
And it was all about closing Costanza. Frank was trying to teach his son. And the competition was if you won, you got a water pick. If you lost, you got fired. In this case, the winner will go on to the Eastern Conference Final. And yeah, the Canadians must learn to close.
They do. What does that mean? Well, we're going to get into all of that in a minute. Let's first just give you an idea of what we've got for you today on the show coming up. Our first segment, always our week in review. So we're going to give you a brief recap of the round two games that the Canadians played between today and our previous episode. So that would be game 3, 4, and 5. We're going to review what happened in those games. Rick has selected his brand new set of 3 stars from the team for this week. We'll see if they line up with who you think should get the 3 stars for the week on the Canadiens roster. Speaking of the roster, we're going to update you with any roster news. We'll also look at Habs prospects, some of whom are playing in the CHL playoffs, some of whom were playing in the AHL. Just a basic update on Habs prospects and what they're doing right now, as well as a pretty robust amount of hockey news from around the NHL outside of the Canadiens organization. Then in our second segment, that is where we tackle our big topic of the week. And this week it is the Canadiens' hardest lesson, learning how to close out a series. We're going to take a closer look at what the Canadiens need to do to make things a little easier on themselves to defeat an opponent, get out of a series, and move on to what's next and not drag things out for too long or, you know, knock on wood, have things not go their way. Closing out a series for a young team is definitely a skill that experience helps to build, and they kind of have to fast track their learning on how to do it. And we're going to get into the details and the analysis of how they can do that and what they need to do to ensure that they advance. And then, of course, in our third segment, we're going to let you have your say. We have each week for you a Canadiens Connection question of the week. It's a question we ask all of you, asking you to send your answers and thoughts and opinions and replies back to us. And then throughout the week, as we receive those, we go through, we pick out the best ones, and we'll read them on next week's show. So we've got a Canadiens Connection question of the week for you in the third segment, as well as some terrific replies that we got, some of the best replies that we picked out from last week's question to bring to you as well. And then we're going to get you all set up for what hopefully will be the Canadiens making a great Victory Day weekend for all of their Habs fans. So let's get started with a look at the games that took place this week. Game 3 was in Montreal, and the Habs were coming off a win in Buffalo. And for the first time in the playoffs, they managed to win 2 in a row. And really, I mean, that Bell Center gave them a definite home ice advantage for game 3. Montreal putting a just absolute stomping on the Sabres, winning it 6-2.
Now, prior to the game, Marty St. Louis has become known for his pregame speeches, and players have noted them. And he said that in his pregame speech prior to game 3, he said, I just wanted to make sure my team was ready to play. Well, they weren't ready to play. It was a bad start. And Tage Thompson scored 53 seconds into this game. It was a bad start for Mike Matheson. First touch giveaway, which he's done more than once, and mm-hmm. the Canadiens weren't able to clear. And Tage Thompson put it in the back of the net. Fortunately, they recovered from that. Jakub Dobish, outstanding, .929 save percentage in this. Alex Newhook with 2 goals, Lane Hutson with 2 assists. And I guess the big talking point afterwards was about Malenstein just absolutely running Jakub Dobish.
It was nuts.
Odd that I think the officials got it wrong here. A 2-minute penalty And it was an obvious attempt to injure. Now, afterwards, there was a little bit of supplementary discipline as Malenstein was fined, but Arbor Jacki was also fined. And Arbor said, we didn't like some of the things they did. They ran Dobie and they were throwing punches in every scrum at our guys. At some point, you got to push back. And I think we did that pretty well. End of quote for Arbor Jacki. Jakub Dobish, he was serenaded on the up for his performance. A 3 or 4 minute ovation as they tried to interview him on ice at the end of the game. And when he came in after that ovation, they asked him, you know, you're a hero. What does it feel like to be a hero? And Jakub Dobish said, listen, I'm not a hero. I'm just a goofy goalie who tries to stop the puck. I go home, I eat, I watch Game of Thrones, and I go to bed. And that humility, I think, has endeared Jakub Dobish to his teammates and to the entire Montreal fan base.
I think so. That was just the first home game in the series for Montreal. So then Tuesday night moved on to game four, which was the next home game for Montreal. Some changes by Lindy Ruff's side of things with a new goaltender, Alex Lyon, having a seat for this one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen getting the start for Buffalo. And despite the Bell Center crowd being just as enthusiastic as they were on Sunday night, wasn't enough for the Canadiens to come out with a third victory. Buffalo taking a road game to even the series 2-2, winning that one 3-2.
The Canadiens, you know, after their win, after their two wins in a row, coming into game four, they had been anointed with the favorite tag in the series, and they didn't handle it very well. Again, terrible start. First 8 minutes, shots were 8-1. The shot attempts were 20-something to three. It was awful. Down 1-0, almost 2-0. But a challenge, coach's challenge, saved them there on goalie interference. The Canadiens were not ready to start this game again. Carrier had some bad penalties, some stick fouls. Not a good game for Nick Suzuki. The Habs, uncharacteristically, were not very good at the faceoff dot, 47.5%. And a bad game for Mike Matheson in this one. Canadiens' power play wasn't very good. Lots of chances, but they went 1-for-7. Newhook had a goal. Caulfield, I said 1-for-7. Caulfield had the power play goal. And then the talking point in this one was the stanchion goal. The puck going off the stanchion in an awkward way. Jakub Dobish stayed in his net as he had been instructed to do. But the puck came off on a bad angle. Nothing he could do there. It happens too often at the Bell Center. Jeff Molson, spend some money, fix it. Yeah. Get it done. You know, these games can hinge on small details. Well, the crew in the Bell Center needs to focus on their details too, and that's making sure that you know, the stanchions don't come into play.
I think I said after the game, if there's one thing that absolutely should not happen in a home game, is the home team's goaltender being taken by surprise by anything that has a puck coming off of any surface that's not a player's stick or skate. It's just not acceptable. And I felt so badly for Jakub Dobish on that one, because really there's nothing that he could do. So with the series tied, that sent things back to Buffalo for Thursday night's game. And despite the fact that Buffalo definitely was, am I sensing a theme, Rick? More ready to start this game. If there's, you know, theme of this week's podcast is the Canadiens learning how to close. Well, I won't say that they learned how to close this game, game five, but they certainly figured out a way to get out of that bad start. And they won on the road in Buffalo again, 6-3.
Marty trying something new here. There was no game day skate, and the Canadians were sluggish in this one. No jump, probably for certainly for the first period, but maybe 8-10 minutes into the second period as well. So pretty sluggish for 30 minutes. And I think, you know, there was a lot of concern about Jakub Dobish, that third goal that was a weak, a bad goal that he allowed. Mm-hmm. But you'd have to say of goals of that caliber, of a bad goal, that was his first real bad goal in 12 playoff games. He had been fabulous in every minute up until that point. And then came the decision point. You know, Marty St. Louis looked at Trevor Letowski. We know the story now. And someone was speaking to Trevor Letowski in his ear. And it was our good friend, Marco Marciano, who we know very well from his days in Laval, who said, "Leave him alone. Don't." And to his credit, Marty, who has said, "It's not my forte. I don't have the credentials to make decisions on goaltending," left the decision up to Marco Marciano. Jakub Dobish was left in goal.
And it was the right call.
And it was the right call. The whole game turned. The Canadians didn't play any better. They still allowed a breakaway by Tage Thompson, but an incredible save by Dobish. And at that point, the team knew that Dobish was back, and the whole game flipped. Canadians now 5-0, Dobish 5-0 following a loss in the playoffs. Dobish has been fantastic. In almost every minute. We're talking about learning to close. The Canadians, their method of closing this game was just to turn the entire third period over to Jakub Dobish. Sabres outshot the Canadians 20-3 in the third. And Dobish was absolutely incredible.
Not sure that's an advisable strategy.
No, I don't think so either. Dobish became the fifth Canadiens rookie goaltender to record at least 7 wins in a single postseason. Hudson, 2 assists. The other notable in this was Demidov. His first goal, his first career playoff goal, he added an assist. And it was...
Well, and the assist should have been his first goal.
Well, it should have. Could have been. Yeah, it wasn't a case of Jake Evans stealing the goal.
No.
That puck was sitting there, and Evans did the right thing by finishing it, making sure it was in the back of the net. Forget about first goals and all of that. The goal was necessary. It all worked out.
In the same game, which was nice.
Yeah, and Demidov was very, very happy.
He was, and it was so nice to see him. Even though he said in comments later, you know, hey, you know, it wasn't any big thing for me that I wasn't scoring, but you could tell it was still a big deal for him to finally score. So that was great. Between the coach and the players after the game, here's Marty St. Louis on leaving Jakub Dobish in that game, trusting the advice of his goaltending coach, Marco Marciano, said, quote, "We spoke to our goalie coach, Marco. We asked him his opinion. He said, leave him in. So we left him in."
Good decision.
And I think in French, he might have even said it, and it wasn't a long, it was, he said, leave him in. So, okay, fine, moving on. We're going to leave him in. So that's great.
So after that vote of confidence from Marty St. Louis in the first intermission, Jakub Dobish said that he went up to Marty and said, "Thanks for letting me stay in the game and proving myself. it was important to me it's important to having the trust of the coach. I'll never disrespect it. I'll always appreciate it. I'm really happy that the teammates stepped up when we needed, and proud of myself too for not giving up and keep making saves. All of that is, Jakub Dobysz, why this was such a big deal. Jakub Dobysz has felt because of the way the goaltending situation was handled that he had to prove himself on every shot. This pressure has been immense on him the entire season. And he's needed to prove himself. Now, if Marty had jumped the gun and just pulled him on his first mistake, as I say, it would have undermined his play for the rest of the playoffs. So good decision by everybody.
Definitely. We were just talking about Demidov getting his first career playoff goal. Well, his roommate is Lane Hutson. Lane Hutson said after that, quote, "He's such a gifted offensive player. I try to tell him to keep playing the same way. He was getting his chances, creating a lot for others. It was only a matter of time. I just told him, trust yourself and play your game. It's nice to see him get one." And you could tell everyone was really happy for him.
Oh yeah, for sure. And happy for Dobysz too. Mm-hmm. After the game, Nick Suzuki said about Dobysz, "I think he's super confident. He puts in the work off the ice to have his mental training where it needs to be. That's a real, real focus for him. He's a fighter. He wants to be in the battle. He's got the perfect kind of attitude for a goalie, for sure." And I think, Carey Price always used to say this, wanting to be in the battle. He didn't like getting pulled, not because of the way it made him feel necessarily. It was because he wanted to stay in the fight. And make no mistake, the Canadians were playing awful for the first 30 minutes, as I said. So it was not just Dobysz's fault for that the Sabres were up. So I think Dobysz has some of that mentality that Carey had, that win or lose, I want to be in the fight with my mates.
Right.
And so really important to leave him in there.
So in choosing so that leaves the series. The Canadians are up after game 5, 3-2 in the series. Game 6, of course, is going to take place on Saturday night back at the Bell Center. So, Rick, you were able to was it difficult to choose your three stars this week, or did they come pretty naturally for you?
Pretty easy. And it was the three stars, the three young stars that made a huge impact in their own ways this past week. Jakub Dobysz, first of all, just under siege most of the time, and he's been fabulous. Goals saved above average, close to 11. That's tops for any goalie in the playoffs. Lane Hutson, that play he made to set up Josh Anderson, nobody else could do that. He had 5 points on 5 assists, playing an average of just over 23 minutes a game. And Ivan Demidov, who, even when he wasn't scoring, was dominating. There was a stat out that of the players who hadn't yet scored in the playoffs, he had created the most scoring chances. And those three made a huge impact this week, Dobysz, Hutson, and Demidov, and will continue to do so this season and beyond.
Well, it was also a pretty good week for a lot of, a lot of players. So I imagine your honorable mention list grew a little bit.
For sure. Alex Newhook is scoring. Jake Evans is doing a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
The first line has come alive and has even got both Slavkovsky getting an even strength point and Caulfield getting an even strength goal. Caden Gooley has been incredible. Mm-hmm. Hits, blocked shots, forced turnovers, even getting points. Caden Gooley has been rather special in these playoffs.
He absolutely has. So As I say, they lead the second round series 3-2. We will see. Can they close it out on Saturday night? Will Buffalo force a game seven on next week? We will have to wait to see. There is some help waiting in the wings if needed. We hope it's not, but if needed, because this past Monday, we're going to talk about the Laval Rocket in a moment, but I don't believe it's a spoiler alert to say that the Laval Rocket season unfortunately came to an early close in the postseason. And so on Monday, the Canadiens recalled forwards Owen Beck, Florian Jacki, and defenseman Adam Engstrom and David Reinbacher, all from the Laval Rocket. So they have now been added to the roster.
And they're going to be the Black Aces for the remainder of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's a large contingent to give those young players the playoff exposure. Marty doesn't like having too many extra people around, so four prospects seems like about the right number, two forwards, two defensemen, and key players who are should factor into the Canadiens' future.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see who brings the torch out at the Bell Center tonight on Saturday night. It's been a great cast of characters during the opening ceremony so far, with a different alumnus coming out bearing the torch this year.
Yvon Cornoyer, Serge Savard, Chris Nylon. And Chris was particularly touched because he said, you know, not a Hall of Famer like all the other guys, but he certainly means a lot to Canadiens fans. Kirk Muller, Guy Carboneau. A lot of speculation for Saturday night's torchbearer. Will it be Madame Béliveau? Mm-hmm. Will it be Carey Price? Mm-hmm. Lots of good choices that could be made.
Definitely. Can't wait to see who it's going to be. And for now, Marty has not been moving and shaking with lines and defense pairings too much. He's been liking how things have been looking.
You can expect, I'd say, the same lineup on Saturday night. Lindy Ruff has been tinkering with his lines. He's been swapping his goalies. Will we see Alex Lyon back in the net in game six? It's hard to tell because Lindy Ruff hasn't been had his crew skating. They didn't even come to the rink on Saturday. And our friend Joe Yurton put out this quote from Lindy saying, quote, "I think part of not going to the rink is let's not go there and overcook this. Let's get ready to play our game and only go there once." All right.
Okay.
So that's going to be the new strategy for Buffalo on Saturday.
All righty. Switching gears for just a moment, let's just take a quick look at the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Well, the CHL playoffs continue with a Habs prospect in it. The OHL final was a best of seven series between the Kitchener Rangers and the Barrie Colts. Wow. How about becoming 2026 OHL champions with a sweep?
Now, maybe it was my support last week that I said openly that I was supporting the Kitchener Rangers. Yeah, they beat the Barrie Colts four games straight for their fifth championship. That is the J. Ross Robertson Cup, which signifies OHL champions. Fifth time, previous titles in 2008, 2003, 1981, and 2. So it's been a while for Kitchener. And now Kitchener Rangers will head to the Memorial Cup this upcoming week. Takes place in Kelowna from the 22nd to the 31st of May. And the first game, Kitchener will be playing the host Kelowna team of the WHL. Everett was the champion of the WHL. And why were we talking about the Kitchener Rangers? Well, that's because Canadiens prospect Andrew McNeil The 6'2" right shot defenseman. He was a sixth round pick in 2025. In 10 playoff games, we told you he was coming back off an injury. He scored twice, 2 points in those 10 playoff games.
All right. You remember that guy, Atos Koivu, Saku's son?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that young forward has signed a one-year contract extension with TPS Turku in the Finnish Liga. It seemed to have a pretty comfortable season there, so it looks like he's going to go for another year.
Yeah, a little bit of an up-and-down season, but a good decision for him to cook a little bit further in the Finnish League.
Unfortunately, when it comes to the Laval Rocket and the Canadiens prospects playing there, their postseason was over before it really had a chance to gain much traction. We talked about it last week, that it's a best of five series. They forced a game five. A game five for last Saturday was forced, and Toronto came out on top. It was a tight game, 3-2. The Marlies winning, but that was it. It was a win or go home situation. Laval did not come out on top, and just like that, they are out of the postseason.
Yeah, a good season that ended much too early. We saw them struggle in the goaltending department, but that wasn't the only thing that that sunk them. Mentioned Owen Beck getting a recall. He had two goals, both goals for Laval in this game.
So, it was after pretty much, leading the division and almost leading the league for most of the season, a disappointing end for the Laval Rocket season. But nevertheless, a lot of good development happened this year for the prospects. And as we said, four of those prospects were recalled to Montreal to serve as Black Aces now for the NHL playoffs. So we'll see how that goes.
And another two prospects continue playing hockey, these two at the World Championship that's taking place in Switzerland.
That's right. Vincent Rohrer has been selected to play for Team Austria, and Philip Meschar playing with Team Slovakia. And I believe I saw today, Laval, I think, posted that both of them won their first preliminary games, both teams. So good start for Rohrer and Meschar.
Nice.
Laval has already made a signing in the offseason. it was a guy that they had on a tryout contract who, of course, was released at the beginning of the week. They then turned around and signed defenseman Aiden Dubinsky to a one-year, one-way AHL deal for next season.
They must have liked what they saw. Mm-hmm. Dubinsky is a 22-year-old right-shot defenseman. Played one regular season game for Laval and one playoff game. But I guess it was the 39 games he played for the University of Wisconsin in the NCAA this season, and three prior seasons at UMD, the University of Minnesota Duluth. And he's going to be around for next season with that one-year, one-way AHL contract.
That's great. All right, so that's the end of the prospect report. Let's just bring you up to speed on some general hockey news from around the NHL that's outside of the Montreal Canadiens, things that's noteworthy from this past week. Speaking of the 2026 IIHF World Championship that's just starting to get underway, Macklin Celebrini named Canada's captain.
Yeah, and I think they said he was the youngest captain in the history of Team Canada for the World Championships.
Well, and what's interesting is that this week Sidney Crosby was added to the roster, and so he's part of the leadership group. He's wearing an A, but a Team Canada team with Sidney Crosby on it, and he's not the captain.
And he's probably okay with that.
He's probably okay with the passing of the torch. I think so.
Canada off to 2-0 start. They beat Italy 6-0 on Saturday.
And then there were the firings. Edmonton is done with Chris Knobloch. He was fired as the coach of the Edmonton Oilers on Thursday.
Rumored the many days prior to that.
Yeah. And no, they don't have a replacement in mind yet. They just knew that they were going to part ways with Chris Knobloch, and a search for a new head coach will begin. Same thing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Chayka making an early decision. Craig Berube, Chief, is out. Toronto Maple Leafs firing Berube this week as well.
That wasn't ever going to be a good match between Chayka and Berube.
No.
Berube, pretty plain spoken.
Yes, he is.
And Chayka not. Was it Chayka who said that he didn't consult the players? Well, why would he? That's a GM's decision. Yeah. Anyway, the circus goes on, and lots of rumors about the names that are in play there. And we've spent enough time on the Toronto Maple Leafs, so we'll avoid listing them.
Maybe some good news out of Vancouver. Really like this decision. The Vancouver Canucks have named the Sedin twins as co-presidents of hockey ops on Thursday. They, in turn, hired their former teammate Ryan Johnson as the new GM. And Jim Rutherford's on his way out.
Yeah, Rutherford had announced that he would leave after the draft. He's staying on to assist with the transition for the new general manager.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that can usher in a bit of a better executive front office era for the Vancouver Canucks. The Vegas Golden Knights beat the Anaheim Ducks this week, advanced to the Western Conference Final. But that's not really what made the headlines. What made the headlines was that apparently, you know, under the guise of there was a really quick team flight out of town, John Tortorella did not hold a post-game press conference, and only three players were made available to the media, not in the dressing room. The dressing room was closed. They came out to the podium and a side room. And as such, the league handed down some pretty stiff punishment. The Vegas Golden Knights losing a second round draft pick for this summer's draft, and John Tortorella individually fined $100,000.
The second round pick is pretty stiff. As it sits right now, Vegas pick will probably be in the 60s, 61 overall. That could be a pretty good pick. And it's just bizarre. They won, but yet John Tortorella, and no one seems to know whether it was the quick turnaround for the plane, whether he was upset with the suspension. You know, it was a nasty hit on Ryan Poehling. The thing is, if he had gone to the podium and ranted about the suspension, he'd probably have been, the penalty would have been less than violating the media policy here.
And now he's going to have to answer questions at his next press conference about this debacle.
And apparently Vegas had been warned. Not only had Vegas been warned, but I mean, this was a topic of discussion across hockey. I remember the Barry Colts, the OHL, that whole debacle. So they just should have known better.
They should have known better. More award announcements coming out. First is the finalists for the Jim Gregory GM of the Year Award. The finalists this year are Minnesota's GM Bill Guerin, Colorado's GM Chris McFarland, and Anaheim's GM Pat Verbeek.
All worthy nominees.
Absolutely. The winner of the Calder Memorial Trophy, we mentioned either last week or the week prior who the three finalists were. It was down to Ivan Demidov, Matt Schaefer, and was it Beckett Senek?
Seneca, no.
Beck and Seneca.
Yeah, you're right.
Who were the three finalists for this year's Calder Memorial Trophy as the league's best rookie. The winner was announced this week, New York Islanders defenseman Matt Schaefer winning this year's Calder Memorial Trophy.
We said it was going to happen. It did happen. It was a unanimous vote. Schaefer was the first choice on all 198 ballots. First unanimous Calder Cup trophy winner since Teemu Selänne of the Winnipeg Jets and the first defenseman to have that honor. But all not lost here because in any other year, Ivan Demidov had a special year and he came in second in the voting. back at Seneca was third. And the Canadians have three players who got votes. Jakub Dobysz, he was fourth, solid fourth in the voting. Maybe forget that it's his rookie year too. And Oliver Kapanen, 22 goals. He ended up 11th in the voting. So Canadians didn't have a Calder winner like last year, but they had three special rookies. And I think that's even good. That's just as good or better.
I think so too. It's the future is bright. All right, we are going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We're going to bring you a special message with a special incentive for the NHL playoffs from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And on the other side, we're going to talk about the Canadians' hardest lesson, learning how to close out a series, something they very much need to do and could even do in just a few hours. So we will talk about that in depth on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a new customer offer. Bet player props. Bet live. From the opening faceoff to the final horn, every moment matters. And new DraftKings customers, bet just $5 and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $100 in bonus bets instantly. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, and I'm here in the studio with our president and founder, my co-host, Rick Stevens. Be sure, if you want to follow us over on X, there's an easy way for you to do that. You can follow Rick at Rocket Sports. That is our main account for everything that we do here at Rocket Sports Media, including this podcast, but also video content, written content, you name it. You can also follow this podcast specifically over on X, and that would be at Habs Connection. That's on X, Facebook, and Instagram, actually. So make sure you're following. As I said at the top of the show, if you haven't done so already, tap the subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss an episode all year long, particularly as we get into the summer months. We will still be here. There will be a lot to talk about over the summer as things happen with the draft and free agency, all sorts of things. So make sure you're subscribed, whether it's on your favorite podcast player, however you're listening to the podcast right now, or if you're watching on YouTube, tap subscribe and hit the notification bell over there as well. You know, there's a big difference between getting yourself into a good position in a playoff series and then finishing the job. And for a younger team like the Canadians, that balance, that fine line can sometimes be the hardest lesson to learn. Because once you get close to closing out a series, everything changes. The pressure changes, the sense of urgency changes on both sides of the ice. Your opponent's going to get a lot more desperate, particularly if you're the one who is up in the series. The games just get tighter. There's more at stake, and it's everything is just ramped up. Mentally, you have to be able to stay focused. You have to keep pushing. You can't sit back and just kind of hope things work out. which is a little bit of, you know, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but it's a little, that's a little bit of what we saw in game, in game five at in that third period when the Canadians kind of just left everything up to Dobesh to make the saves in the third period. You can't do that. So all of that is kind of what I think makes this stage of the playoffs, the cusp of a series, so challenging for the Montreal Canadiens. There's absolutely been moments where you can see their confidence and their structure and their growth, but then again, I'll use that third period in game five as an example. There's been moments like that where you can tell that the team is still young and still learning and learning about what it takes to put an opponent away. I kind of liken it to the raw talent gets you to the stage, but the mentality, composure, urgency, and developing that ruthless edge that good playoff teams have those are the things that propel you to the final curtain of the production, right? So, Rick, it sounds like this week we're going to look at the biggest things that the Canadians still need to learn about closing out a playoff series. So where do we begin?
So I think we have to begin with a cautionary note. The Canadians have won three games, but having won three games in this series, they've earned nothing.
Nope.
You know, when you look back, the Canadians could have made their lives so much easier with a win at the Bell Center in Game Four against Buffalo, or a home win against Tampa in Game Six.
Mm-hmm.
There are just no guarantees. It's not over until you finish it.
Right.
They really have to learn. And as you said, it's the hardest lesson, learning how to close out a series.
And this is, we're going to focus mostly here on, yes, how to close out a series. But I just do want to mention something that you were talking about, that we were talking about pre-show. And that is this lesson of them learning how to better close out a series is kind of a continuation in evolution, shadows of struggles they had during the regular season in closing out games, where they'd get to the end of a game and they were allowing opponents to surge back and they were making life more difficult for themselves. It seems to be, it's a carryover, but of a kind of a different sort of carryover.
So the first thing, the Montreal Canadiens must play with urgency from the drop of the puck. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, Marty is about being patient. Marty is about process. Marty is about letting the game come to you. That's what he preaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that means that the trademark of a Marty St. Louis coach team, the negative side is that they seem unprepared to play. They fall behind early. And if you look at this series, in four of the five games, Buffalo has scored in the first 7 minutes. So the Canadians have to put an end to that. They're at home. They're in charge. They've got to put the Sabres on their heels, force them to defend. As you said, the Sabres are going to be playing with desperation. The Canadians don't have their backs against the wall, but they need to manufacture desperation. Because right now they understand how to play with desperation when they're trailing in a game,
mm-hmm.
Especially during the regular season. They were absolutely the comeback kings. They have, in this past season, both regular season and playoffs, 30 comeback wins. And that's just one off of the franchise record. So they know how to apply desperation when they're trailing. They have to manufacture desperation from the beginning. They've got to apply those same principles right from the start of the game. And we said it last week. They got to take control. They got to exert their will. And in doing that, they remove hope from their opposition.
They do. It's something, and it was painfully apparent this week. The bad starts were painfully apparent. And Buffalo has not only been prepared from puck drop, but every time the Canadians weren't as prepared, had a slow start, Buffalo seemed to feed off of that and start to learn game after game, hey, they're more likely than not to start off on a slow foot. And so we really have to push in those first 10 minutes because we can take advantage of that. Canadians need to upset that apple cart. Canadians need to stop doing that. As you say, they have to play with urgency from opening faceoff. They also need to start executing with a quote unquote championship desire. We know that winning the next game is not winning the cup, but you have to have that winning the cup championship mentality in each game.
During these playoffs, Marty's used that word. That's his buzzword for the playoffs is championship. He talked about championship habits and we have to extend it to a focus. The Canadians have to have one focus, singular focus. They have to have an absolute ruthless determination to win. You hear the phrase, which is kind of a cliche, do whatever it takes. But it's more than that. It's being committed to executing all the details, the very small details on every shift. And that's a championship mindset. And they have to do that at all times. They have to do that even when they're under pressure. Like their very spot in the lineup depended on it. That's the way Jakub Dobish has been playing in the playoffs, but he's also been playing that way all season long because his spot in the lineup did depend on performing under pressure. So no matter what it is you do, what it is your responsibility, if it's to get the puck out on a zone exit, you can't do it softly. You can't do it tentatively. Whether it's forechecking and puck retrievals, whether it's net front battles, whether it's faceoffs, whatever the job is, you have to be focused. You have to do it your best. You have to do it on every shift.
You do. They have to start doing these things right away, starting with game six tonight. Game six is their opportunity to close out this series. They could make life a little easier on themselves by not having to push to a game seven again. They could make life a little less easy for their potential next opponent, the Carolina Hurricanes, who have been sitting around on vacation for over a week already. So, executing with championship desire, playing with urgency from the drop of the puck. These are the things that the Canadians have to learn how to do in a very, very brief amount of time in order to start closing out series in a more efficient way. Speaking of closing out, they need to learn to finish strong. And this, Rick, goes right back to what I was talking about that we were talking about pre-show, that you were talking about pre-show, is that effort in the third period in game five was a little lacking.
Finish periods. Finish those strong. Finish games strong. Finish the series strong. Finished your shift strong. We've seen various players, but like I said, the kind of soft exit zone passes, Yuri Slavkovsky with the behind the back pass to no one. Focus and finish everything strong. You never know what's going to shift momentum in this series. We've seen huge momentum shifts. And it has to be the mindset for every player that their next puck touch or not, or failure, could determine the outcome of the game. the Canadians, you mentioned it. We talked about it before the podcast. They've had real difficulty defending leads. They struggled throughout the regular season when the opposition had a 6-on-5 advantage at the end of games. And defending doesn't always mean being passive. You don't sit back and let your goaltender make 20 saves in the third period. That game five, shots 20-3. They left everything up to Dobish to protect the lead and deliver the win. They got to do better on that. They also have to do better on the penalty kill. 78.7% so far in the playoffs on the PK. That's 13th out of 16 playoff teams, and we know there's not that many left in the playoffs. So the Canadians need to eliminate their opponent. Don't count on the opponent eliminating themselves. Finish right. With vengeance. Deliver the knockout punch. Deliver that knockout punch. Finish with the vengeance.
Remember, this it's almost the same kind of mindset as, you know, during that final couple of week playoff push at the end of the season. Control what you can control.
Yeah.
You can't rely at the end of the season on the teams around you in that, you know, final playoff spot clincher to defeat themselves. You have to do what you can do to put yourself in the best position. If they defeat themselves, great, but you can't rely on that. You have to control what you can control, knowing that you did the best that you could. And that's what we need to see from the Montreal Canadiens every single second that they're on the ice. So, can they do it? Can they do it again? We have a question for you. Which player on the Montreal Canadiens roster right now best represents the mentality that the Canadiens need right now?
And you said on the roster, not necessarily in the lineup, but on the roster. Which player?
That's right.
Which player has that mentality that they need to help them finish?
We want to hear your answers on this. Of course, we want to hear your answers. Let me give you the ways that you could submit your answers, with the obvious possibility that if your answer is one that catches our eye, we're going to read it on next week's show for everyone to hear. You could send us a text if that's easiest for you. Our Rocket Sports text line number is 585-3-ROCKET. Again, that's 585-3-ROCKET. If you are listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this episode in Spotify. Did you know that? You can do that. You can comment on podcast episodes in Spotify. So you can leave your reply there. If you would like, you could go over to our YouTube channel. You can find that at InsideTheCanadians.com. Again, that's InsideTheCanadians.com. And you can leave a comment on the YouTube channel for this podcast episode. Or if you would prefer to do it on social media, just go to the handle at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram, and drop us a reply or a DM, and we'll get your response that way as well. Whatever way you choose, just answer the question for us. Which player on the roster right now for the Habs best represents the mentality that the Canadians need right now? Because whoever that is, they need to make that mentality infectious mm-hmm. with the rest of the room. All right. We can't wait to hear what you think about that. And while you start to think about that, we're going to take our final break on this week's episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. Don't go anywhere, though, because on the other side of this message from our sponsors over at DraftKings, we are going to be reading some of your best responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a new customer offer. Bet player props. Bet live. From the opening faceoff to the final horn, every moment matters. And new DraftKings customers, bet just $5 and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $100 in bonus bets instantly. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 400 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, thanks for listening today and every week. We're so glad that you're here. We appreciate you being here with us every Saturday. Or if you are one of our loyal watchers on YouTube, then you're with us every Monday or whenever, whatever day of the week you take some time to sit down with us to talk about the Habs. We just appreciate you being here. Make sure you're subscribed. Leave a review or tap the like button if you have a moment, if you like the content, and give us your feedback. We love to hear from you. Speaking of loving to hear from you, don't forget, we want to hear your replies to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which player best represents the mentality the Canadians need right now? We're talking about closing out series and learning how to do that. It's a skill, and the Canadians need that mentality right now. Which player on the roster best represents that for them right now? Last week, in episode 399, we asked you, what's the biggest thing the Canadians need to do to beat the Buffalo Sabres in general? And we had some really interesting replies to this. We had some over on X. I know that. Do you have one from
I do.
Twitter?
And this is a strong response to the question, what's the biggest thing that Canadians need to do to beat the Buffalo Sabres? At FLHX Habs, that's Mike, who's actually a Habs fan in Thailand. Thanks for listening and thanks for following along, Mike. Mike has a sole focus. How do you beat the Buffalo Sabres? Well, here we go. From Mike, get rid of Matheson. Matheson needs to play better. Too much standing around in front of his net. Move them out of there. Look at the second goal, just standing with a dumb look on his face. Matheson doesn't earn half of his salary. He does not clear the net. He can't make a first pass. What good are all those minutes if he is a liability to the team? Get rid of him. Mike has spoken.
Standing ovation.
Well, I think that for it's been pretty eye-opening for some Canadians fans and some Micah Matheson's fans that there's no way to sugarcoat it. He's not been very good in the playoffs. And that's eye test, game score, on the PK, whatever you want to choose to judge him. The excuse was he was bad because Dobson was out, and but Dobson's back and he's looked the same. So I think, you know, we talked about changing the guard from Crosby to Celebrini. In no means was Mike Matheson comparable to Crosby, but the torch has been passed to Lane Hutson. He's the star on defense. Others are falling into place well ahead of Mike Matheson, who's had a tough time.
He has. Thank you to Mike in Thailand for your comment. We're super glad you're listening. Over on YouTube, we had, what do the Canadians need to do to win the series? What do the Canadians need to do to beat the Buffalo Sabres? At P. Moran Fidelt says, great show as always. I believe that you are 100% correct that in order for Montreal to beat Buffalo, they need to be on the they need to be better on the power play and penalty kill. Game 3 last Sunday proved that. The second thing is that the defense needs to push away Buffalo's forwards out from the front of the net to help Dobesh. Gee, I think Mike in Thailand just said that McMathison doesn't do that. But yes, overall, as P. Moran Fideout is saying, the defense needs to get the forwards out of the paint to give Dobesh a bit of a hand. He finishes up by saying, my personal opinion is that Gallagher needs to be put back into the lineup. He has proven his grit. And you remember, thank you, P. Moran Fidel. It's a great comment.
Great comment.
Very good points that you've made there. And yeah, you know, Marty made a strategic decision partway through the Tampa series to insert Gallagher into the lineup. I'm actually surprised he hasn't done that yet, because Gallagher would change the tone a little bit. He would add a different element. I doubt that he's going to do it for game six. I think that ship has sailed for this series, but I agree Gallagher should have been back in the lineup.
And if the Canadians advance, a different opponent and different style, maybe Gallagher has a better fit next series or one of the other, yeah. Whether it's Kapanen or whoever, one of the other players that's waiting in the wings.
Definitely. There was also a on our posts tab on our YouTube channel. Don't forget, even if you prefer to listen to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Music or however you listen to the podcast, still visit our YouTube channel a couple of times a week just to check the posts tab. That's where we place poll questions or just questions that we ask our subscribers throughout the week. And we pay attention to those a lot. So go to insidethecanadians.com, hit subscribe, go to the post tab. One of the posts this week, we simply asked the question, what's the biggest thing that the Canadians need? It's the Canadians Connection question of the week. To win the series against Buffalo at Grand Crodad Ford E6127. I'm sorry if I completely butchered that handle. However, his answer was great. He says, what do the Canadians need to do to win the series against Buffalo? See the famous Andre Kostitsyn interview. Put puck in net. Put puck in net.
Outscore all your problems. Yeah, there you go.
That's one way to do it. I love it. It was a great reply. So thank you so much for that. Get your replies in to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. We want to be reading your answers, your thoughts, your opinions on next week's show. But before we get to next week's show, we've got some hockey to watch. Saturday night, tonight, if you're listening to the podcast as soon as it comes out, Game 6 in Montreal at the Bell Centre, 8 p.m. start tonight on ESPN, unfortunately, in the United States. That would be me and all of us. For the U.S., the television coverage on ESPN during these playoffs has been atrocious. TNT has them by a country mile, both in studio panel and broadcast coverage. But
it is a Saturday night game.
Finally. Do you know this is the first time since 3 weeks before the end of the regular season, I think? The Canadians had a Saturday night game to end the season. They started having Sunday games the last like three, or was it the last 5 weeks of the regular season, and have had Friday Sunday games for the all of the playoffs until now. This is the first Saturday night in like 2 months that the Canadians will have. It's nuts.
So no pressure, Cole Caulfield.
No.
ESPN, they noted that of the 23 games on Saturday this season, they say including the playoffs, but there hasn't been a Saturday playoff. Cole Caulfield has 21 goals in those 23 games. No pressure.
Mr. Saturday evening.
Yeah.
We'll see what he can do. Can the Cabs close it out on Saturday night and advance? We'll see. If they can't, if Buffalo can overcome, that will force a game 7, which will head back to Buffalo, and that will be on Monday night, game time TBD in Buffalo for game 7. So we've got at least one game against Buffalo, possibly two to watch. Now, if the Canadians win on Saturday night, if they win tonight in game six, then the series for the conference final against the Carolina Hurricanes will start on Tuesday. If, however, a game seven is needed and the Canadians win that game seven on Monday night, the conference final against the Carolina Hurricanes will start on Thursday. So there you have it. It's Saturday night, game six, Monday night, game seven, if needed. Tuesday night, game one of the conference final, if this series wraps up in six games. Otherwise, it doesn't start until Thursday. Do you have all that straight?
I'm just thinking about the Victoria Day weekend.
Happy Victoria Day weekend.
With lots of hockey.
All of our Canadian listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hockey. Hope and the weather's nice.
The U.S. folks will have yours next week, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day will be next. We'll get to that one next week. Hope you have a great Victoria Day weekend. Hope the Canadians give you something to celebrate. And then after all of that hockey takes place this week, be sure that you are back here with us next Saturday, May 23rd, for the next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. Guarantee we're going to have a lot to talk about no matter what happens. So you're not going to want to miss it. We thank you so much for being here. Happy Victoria Day weekend. Happy end of the series. Fingers crossed. Go Habs, go. And we'll see you next time on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.